been murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome, Ravens Nation. What is going on? It is Purple Friday. It is a Purple Friday preview, getting you guys ready for the Ravens and the Redskins. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. Joining me as always, Josh. What's going on, man? How you feeling? You did you get an early bird special, you know, for dinner the other night, now that you're the big 3-0?
Dude, I've been having a blast this whole week, and it's been a blessing. I can't say, you know, thank you to all enough. Thank you to all of those who wished me happy birthday. It was definitely awesome to see the outpouring of support, you know, and those that I'm surrounded with. And on the call, Facebook page, I appreciate those who stopped by to wish me. And, of course, on Twitter, never too late. People are still trickling in the days after my birthday. But, dude, I've had a blast. It just sucks that obviously I want to get to a Ravens game and get through Purple Friday, but it means that it's one day less I have to get back to work. So I'm not excited about that, but hey, again, you know, love what we do around here at The Call, and I'm very happy to be doing another Purple Friday preview, bro.
That's right. So before we actually preview a game, it's been a very newsworthy week here in Baltimore with the Ravens, with the release of Justin Forsett. They came out and said it was a mutual agreement that Forsett actually asked to be released due to his age and the fact that he wants to play, and he kind of saw the writing on the wall saying, I'm not going to be playing here much longer. What are your thoughts on this? Because as much as I liked Justin Forsett, him and Mark Trestman, in my eyes, never really clicked. He never got that buzz he got when he was here with Kubiak. It just never seemed to work out with the two. As much as I hate to see Forsett go, I think it is for the best for him to no longer be with the team.
And for him to ask for the release, everybody was trying, of course, you know, going the negative route. Well, you know, was there an underlying conspiracy? No. He wants playing time, and he doesn't want to share on the backfield, which I can understand him being an NFL back. He doesn't want that. What it comes down to is I think the Ravens want to go west. We have Dixon coming back. Whether he'll be in the mix this weekend is exciting. As you all know, the knee injury in preseason looked grim, but he'll be back. And Buck Allen might be activated. So the Ravens want to go younger and fresher at back. And given how West performed with the healthy scratch and getting on that Sunday, I knew when he was healthy scratch, something was going on. Because you don't sit Justin Forsett as a healthy scratch without an injury if there's no underlying reason. So it comes as no surprise. I'm not surprised by the move. I wish him the best. Forsett was awesome. But it's right now it's a new direction, and we need a spark. And Terrence West did. I mean, again, over 100 yards and a touchdown on the ground. He's going to continue that trend come this weekend, man. And I'm really excited to see what West can bring to the table. And Kenneth Dixon, the kid was special in preseason, and hopefully can come out of this and on the positive end.
But here's my question about Terrence West. We brought this up, I think, in the first Purple Friday preview back on, like, Labor Day or something. Terrence West, they showed him off. He got 100 yards, got a touchdown last game, but it was against the Raiders, who have one of the worst defenses in the league. Can he continue this trend going up against bigger and better teams?
I think so. I think he's up to the task, and I think the trend will continue. You can only see it. You can always go upwards. And when you're going constantly against the best, it improves your game. You know, again, they're NFL defenses, and these guys get paid to do their jobs well. They're pros for a reason. They're 53 men on the Browns, even though they're on four. Again, we always go back where you are, what your record says you are, but anybody can beat anybody any given Sunday. If you don't make enough plays, you can lose the game. We've seen what that can do. So I think just going constantly against the best is only going to improve the situation, man.
Now, where do you think a guy like Buck Allen comes into the scenario here? Because we have Terrence West, Ken Dixon. He's got a lot of charm on him, I guess, right now for being this, having a great training camp. Are they going to run three deep on the running back spot?
I think so. I think you're going to see back in what happened when we had Ron McLean, Melissa McGahee, and gentlemen back there in the backfield, and that basically those backs dispel each other. What you're not going to see is a dominant week-to-week feature back. It could be if Kenneth Dixon's hot, you might see him start. Or it wouldn't surprise me, not to say they would bench Terrace West. I don't want to cause a running back controversy here in speaking about it. But basically it comes down to who's going to be producing, who's getting the hot hand. If Terrace West isn't getting it done, hopefully Dixon will. But it's all about the line and schemes and blocking. I mean, you know, you can have Adrian Peterson, even Walter Payton himself, but if you're not going to block and do the schemes, the running back's only good as they're blocking, especially a quarterback. So I look for the line to get back on track this week as well with some of the pieces back in place.
Now, my biggest concern with the running back spot, even though I do like Terrence West, I do like Buck Allen, I do like Ken Dixon, they all three of these guys have something very much in common. They are all very young in this league. I mean, Terrence
young
West,
and they're quick.
They're young. Yeah. That's. I mean, the quick part is great, but they're young, so they're a little inexperienced. That is something I think we're going to see down the road that is missing from not having Justin Forsett, even on like the sidelines. Like, even if he wasn't playing, he still was a veteran presence. He could bring these guys up, show them what to do, because he was great at being a blocker as well for Joe Flacco, you know, being that extra blocker if need be. I don't know if we're going to see that from these three young guys.
I don't know. I mean, the jury's still out because we haven't seen them in a full good game. I mean, we've seen Dixon for a couple good games, but again, it's preseason. You can't get a gauge. We know what West started the preseason like, so it's good to really get these guys in real live game action, a regular season game, to see what body of work they can prove, but we already know what they can do. I just want to see a complete game about it, man. I'm very excited about that, and we're going to definitely see it firsthand come this Sunday. It's going to be a quick turnaround for us.
Absolutely. So one guy that we're not going to see on the field this Sunday, but we've been talking about him all offseason, preseason, regular season, is Darren Waller. He was suspended for four games. It has come out now. He has been spoken outspoken about it. He got hit with marijuana. He tested positive for that, so he missed four games due to marijuana. And I thought after the four games we were going to see him, especially with what looks to be an injury with Max Williams. He's a little questionable for this Sunday. I figured Darren Waller would be activated. We'd see him up against the Redskins. However, the Ravens decide to go a different direction. They're pretty much exercising the right they have to have him practice for a week with the team, and they've activated Daniel Brown to the 53-man roster from the practice squad. What do you think this is about? Why not activate Waller immediately, and why bring Daniel Brown in?
You know what? It's nothing with health. Anything, it could be a coaching move, to, you know, to say, you know, a kind of the doghouse. We always joke about Harbaugh's doghouse, Brandon. Dude, I think it could be one of those moves. You know, just, you know, making him learn that, hey, nothing's given in the NFL, and you're going to have to earn your stripes. And, you know, maybe Dan Brown's there to get competition to him, to give him a push, because, you know, maybe he came back in at week five and goes, oh, the job's mine. Well, obviously it's Pittis for one, too. We wouldn't be having this conversation if Pitta wouldn't have gotten in the starting mix and Watson got hurt. So things happen for a reason, but I think Harbaugh's doing this as a move to say, hey, you know, we're not just going to hand you the position. You're going to have to show your earning, you know, you're all suspension, and it could be something like that. Don't want to read too much into it, but, I mean, Dan Brown's great for us, and I'm very excited for that move as well. So we'll see what comes out of this.
I'm intrigued, and what you brought up, you know, the John Harbaugh doghouse. I don't think that's like an urban legend or anything. I 100% think that's a real thing. We saw it with Bryant McKinney. We saw that he's probably the only guy I can really think of that has been like, you know, suspended or in trouble and then not been played by Harbaugh. Bernard Pierce, maybe, because he was let go after the Super Bowl year, and him and Harbaugh really didn't get along. I definitely think this has a little bit of Harbaugh written over it. The guy gets suspended, he's out for four games, and Harbaugh's going to make him earn it again. I think Harbaugh's really big on that. I think he's not like, all right, you're back, now you're automatically in the lineup. No, you've got guys that kind of took your spot already. And he's moving from wide receiver to tight end, so maybe he's not completely settled into that position yet, but with an injury to Max Williams, Daniel Brown was activated, but it looks like he's potentially taking Forsett's spot. So I think maybe the jury's still out on Max Williams about whether or not the injury is going to be like season threatening, if he is going to play on Sunday. All of that's really up in the air right now.
Well, he's dealing with the knee issue, and I think you're going to see it linger. And that's another reason why I think they brought up Dan Brown, because with Waller, another strategic move, you have to think that even if Waller came off the suspension, they didn't want to work him in just like that. We already knew Dumervil was rusty. What I might think is here's a ploy to say, hey, Dan Brown might have still been healthy. He was probably practicing with the practice squad. We don't know. But what we do know is Waller's coming off suspension. I think it's another thing that you want to get him slowly built up. You don't want to throw him right in there, especially at a pivotal game. The last game for another month. You definitely don't want to go down 3-2. You want to be at 4-1 after this game. So I think it's another move to say, hey, Dan Brown's probably our best foot forward going into this game, and we'll see what you bring. And again, we already know Ronnie Stanley missed practice already this week a few times. Harbaugh's already said he could play. He could have played last week. I think they're just taking it very cautious at this point. We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens on Sunday morning when the inactives are released. If Stanley's name's on the inactives, we're going to have a tough time again. But I really hope he can play. Right now it's up in the air. I really wish I can have more insight on this one for us, man. But I don't see it. It's a 50-50 shot.
Now, what kind of defense are the Washington Redskins? The Raiders we saw last week, not a good defense, and Flacco was still on his back a lot. He got sacked. He fumbled the ball.
Right.
Ronnie Stanley was a huge missing cog in that offensive line, and we have a lot of backups who are just not that good. And that was against a bad defense. What kind of defense are the Redskins? Are they one that's better than the Raiders? Are they different? Like what do they focus on? Are they going to give the offensive line and Joe Flacco a lot of trouble if Stanley's not there?
You know what? That's going to be something to really watch because I knew going into Sunday without him Lewis on there, it was a problem for us. And if he's a no-go, especially with West and Dixon coming back, that's going to be where the game's going to be lost and won again. You're going to hear me say it a lot. It's going to be won and lost in the trenches, any football game is, because you have to block for a quarterback to pass it. You have to block free running backs to get the lanes. Everything's set up with that, especially screen passes, tight ends, the whole nine yards. What it comes down to is the matchups. The Ravens, they're going to have problems all day long for the Redskins on their defensive front if those guys aren't ready to go. We know Alex Lewis should play. I haven't seen anything otherwise, but Stanley, I really hope he's out there, bro, because it's going to be tough sledding again, man.
Absolutely. So, one more guy we got to talk about who is no longer he's still a part of the team, but now he's on injury reserve, is a rookie cornerback, Maurice Kennedy. He's been moved to injury reserve, and they've signed a safety from the Jacksonville practice squad, Marqueston Huff. Can you tell us anything about these two guys? I didn't know anything about Kennedy. I haven't. This is the first I'm hearing of his name. I don't know anything about him, and I don't. What do you know about Huff?
Well, Huff, he's a safety. He's coming out of about 3 years NFL experience from what I read on him. He's a small guy. He's just shy of 200 pounds. I'm not going to give the whole body on him. He's a pretty small guy. But again, needs secondary help, more the merrier. Really haven't seen much highlights out of him, but he's played on Tennessee previously. Came over to Jacksonville's practice squad. So if the Ravens like him, again, we have to put faith in the Ravens to put the best guys out there and get it done. But I'm really interested to see how this one pans out. And you hate to see guys go down, man, and another injury, but no doubt it's counted. And the reason why you might say, well, who is Merch Canada? I mean, I do recall his name a lot in preseason. The guy was awesome. He played solid a lot, but he suffered the hamstring injury that ultimately put him out, man. And the Ravens had to make a move, so they put him in the IR.
All right, well, we'll wish him all the best. I didn't really know anything about him, but obviously
Maurice was a rookie, too. So,
yeah.
There's no reason why you wouldn't have seen it or heard anything about him. Canada was a rookie coming in. At least Huff, he has some track record on who the guy is. But the Ravens make these moves for reasons, so we'll see how it pans out.
All right, now let's look forward to Sunday. The Washington Redskins are coming right up 495, up 95. Probably going to be in a backup of some kind because that's just
in
what
DC,
happens.
It's bad down there, man.
Yeah, exactly. So we have Kirk Cousins coming to town with his offense. Last time we saw Kirk Cousins, We were in D.C., and he was a rookie. It was the Super Bowl year. He came in after Haloti Ngata obliterated RG3. That's the last big game I can remember between these two. But Kirk Cousins made a name for himself. He's the Redskins' number one guy. Personally, I mean, I don't follow the Redskins very closely, but he's a guy who seems very streaky. You know, he's... He can be a great hand on the field, like we saw in 2012, or he can be a guy who can be very inconsistent, throw a lot of interceptions. What do you think he'll be bringing with the offense to Baltimore on Sunday?
Well, he's going to be dynamic playmakers because DeSean Jackson leads the league, but he's up there in league leaders with big play abilities. A lot of his catches are big gainers; they're big plays. If DeSean gets loose there, he has Jordan Reed, who's a big athletic tight end. That's going to give us fits over the middle. And Jordan Reed had two touchdowns to break out of his slump this year. And another thing we talk about slumps is Sharice Wright. That's going to be the matchup to watch. Sharice has five touchdowns over the past, two or three games, it seems. So, yeah. And the guys are backing him. You know, Jimmy Smith was vocal in the back, and the guy, we dabbled in this, man. You know, media was this week saying that DMPs was coach speak around about saying that, you know, all jobs are up for grabs on the defense. He didn't call out Sharice Wright, but something's got to give, because if Sharice has another bad game where he's going to let big yardage and touchdowns happen, who's to say there's going to be another change coming this week? We can't go down 3-2, and if he's going to be at the forefront. You know, I wish him the best and give him a couple more chances, but to me, enough's enough. If I was running the ship, running the team, he'd be looking for a job, just be honest with you. I mean, you want to give the guy a shot. You know, DMP said we all need to play better. But and speaking of that, and what Kirk Cousins can bring is that elusiveness. He has feet, and he can move them. He's not that pocket passer as we all prefer. So he's very shifty, and it's very, I would say it's underlying because it's not one of his best qualities. So if need be, he can run. And he's young, athletic, and he brings the excitement to that offense, man. They haven't had it since RG3's rookie year. So it's going to be a fun matchup to watch because, again, you got these athletes out there that are going to prove a big problem to us in their number one defense. And that's really funny, dude. We're the number one defense right now statistically in the NFL, but we don't feel like it. You ask Eric Weddle, ask the guys, they don't feel like it because, of course, they're giving up red zone touchdowns because our offense fumbled the ball and we got to clamp down a cover instead of a field goal or holding them to a turnover or something like that. It's turning into seven. And it's changing the outcomes of these games. And if you talk to the team, I mean, obviously they don't sound like a number one unit. You want more confidence in that, but they're not playing up their potential. Suggs is not pass rushing. Durinville's shaking off the rust to get back there. We need to put pressure. So the battle here is going to be the corners. It's actually going to be Sharice Wright matches up against who, if it's DeSean Jackson, if it's Jordan Reed, and also on the flip side is Josh Norman, man. We already know what Josh Norman can do. He's brought in because obviously in the NFC East they have Beckham and Bryant in their division, and he was in to shut them down. And we're going to see if he's going to move around from Steve Smith, or if he's going to stay put, or if he's going to be on Mike Wallace. But look for either Steve Smith or Wallace to really break out, because wherever Josh Norman is, that's not where the ball is going to be going. And Flacco better be aware. Please don't lock on these receivers this weekend, because number 24 for Redskins will be hawking ball, and he's going to make a big play on it. So you got to watch out. That's going to be a big key matchup to watch on Sunday, bro.
Do you think Joe Flacco is going to be stretching the field with Wallace and Perryman, or are they going to play it safe, do a couple short passes, and maybe focus on the run game? What would be the best deal for the offense? What would be the best way to win this game against the Redskins?
Well, you always want them, of course, to have big plays, open it up. It's going to be focused on the run because that was up to last week. That was a glaring weakness. But here's the thing, taking care of the football. But this offense is shortchanging Joe's arm. We already know Joe has a cannon of an arm. And dinking and dunking and flipping it two or three yards here and there is not going to get the job done with what we have. You know, we have Perryman, we want to show off his speed. We have Mike Wallace, who can get, in the first game against the Bills, you saw, putting the ball out there for him. You seen what he can do firing the ball into Steve Smith last week, and Steve doing plays and taking over. You trust the guys. If Joe can fire it in there, trust his guys to make plays. The watch is going to be on Trestman, man, because if he's calling these plays and not taking these to advantage of Joe's strengths and abilities, it's going to shortchange Joe's growth as going into his prime. And I mean, he's entering his prime years right now, coming off, you know, an injury. He already has a Super Bowl win under his belt, all this playoff experience, all the regular season experience. We just need to open it up more, and we need bigger plays down the field. None of this 3rd and 13, and we're throwing it check down to, you know, the back, whoever it is back there, or, you know, a 5-yard flat to Dennis Pitta. That can't happen, dude. It's sickening. It's got to stop. You just got to take more shots. And Flacco this week was saying that they need to take more shots. So, well, let's see it. Instead of talk about it, let's be about it, guys. And you know, I like to call these guys out if I could. But the onus is on them, man. It's going to be, you know, you would think listening to the show, oh, you know, we're not excited to be 3-1. Of course, we're excited to be 3-1, but we want to get better, and there's glaring things that need to happen to get better, because you're not going to want to hold your playoff spot and keep the season going if these things don't improve, because we have to play the Steelers twice. We have to play the Bengals twice. They have Antonio Brown. They have A.J. Green. These guys are going to have a Julio Jones-type day if we don't get together, and it all starts with these games, and you got to take them when they can, and the Redskins are an easy opponent to win. I mean, they just came off a great win against the Giants, who look anemic in their division. So, again, it's just got to come down to how they do it. And even the Redskins, the previous weeks, they've shown it how they can win against the Giants like that in their division and win a back-and-forth game. And we already know this game's going to be closing back-and-forth, so we just need to cut down on the mistakes and the big plays.
I think for the offense, really, to be able to rack up some points, they have to be able to focus on the running game, especially if Ronnie Stanley is out. Ronnie Stanley, I think he's going to, even though he's a rookie, he's going to be a big key to this. We saw what he has as a backup, and it's not good. So if Joe feels pressured, he's thrown off his back foot, he's not doing his normal thing, Joe's going to make mistakes, Joe's going to overthrow, Joe's going to throw an interception, and we don't want that to happen. So I say if Stanley is not playing, they kind of ground the ball as much as possible, and they use their three running backs as much as they can to get that ball going down the field, and hopefully, you know, they can win the game that way. But I don't want to just completely throw away Joe's arm. I want him to be able to use it. But it worries me if Stanley's not there, because, man, for one of the worst defenses in the league, the Raiders really got to him and were able to just, you know, work their way through against Jensen and Hurst and all those guys, just not looking good at all. So need to protect the quarterback, need to give him time to make plays, need to give the wide receivers and tight ends time to get to where they got to be as well. But if Stanley's not there, focus on the running game. And I say do short passes, you know, throw to Pitta, throw to Crockett Gilmore as much as possible. Get those, just get the chains moving, keep them moving, even if it is short distances at a time. And then you try for a Wallace or a Perryman ball every once in a while to stretch the field. But I didn't like how the game ended last week. I mean, 1 point off. You feel as if the Ravens, if they would have made some better coaching decisions, they would have been able to come up with it. And the Redskins are not a terrible team. They're not bad at all. I mean, they're 2-2. That's not a bad record at all. That's nothing to sneeze at. So I think this will be another nail biter for the Ravens.
Achoo. I would sneeze at it. We're one game better. Nah, 2-2 is good. At the 4-game mark, I told you that's where we had the Ravens. So, gotta take the wins where we can. They're a dangerous opponent, man. They can do big plays. I've seen it time and time again. And they clipped us the last time we played them down in D.C., but that was on the Super Bowl year, and that's when we knocked RG3 out and had first taste of Kirk Cousins. So,
and RG3 has never been the same. RG3's never been the same since that game.
Nope. Career ender. Nada.
Do you see?
Not a thing for that. So send a postcard to Detroit.
Do you see a big play like that on Kirk Cousins this game? I'm not saying I don't want to see his career ended. I don't want to see him get hurt. But do you see maybe Timmy Jernigan or somebody like that being able to get to the quarterback and just annihilate the guy?
Well, we need to put pressure on these guys, man. So, I mean, of course, I don't want to see anybody get hurt, but we need to put pressure on them. If he sits back there and thinks he's all high and mighty and throwing passes because he's not getting touched, we need to give that guy a reality check. We need Doom and Suggs to get in there and say, you know what, and Jernigan and company, just to smack him in the mouth a little bit and say, hey, son, you're not going to do this in M&T Bank. And remember, you're playing the Ravens. We need to let them know that if we're the statistically number one defense, not us obviously giving up points, but we are giving up a league best 256 total yards a game. They didn't run on us at all last week. They threw, and not even when they threw. Again, I already shared the statistics. We had them in the yardage. We had them in the total plays, but
they converted our short fields in when we gave it to them to points. And at the end of the day, points off turnovers is the biggest stat you need to win, especially when you get turnovers or give them up. You need to stop them. But you need to just show Kirk Cousins that we need business and we need to put pressure on pressure a lot.
All right, so defensively wise, I feel as if the Ravens are great. I mean, they became the number one defense even after giving up, you know, so many points up against the Raiders. I mean, they didn't have the greatest showing, and they still went up. But Sharice Wright worries me. We've already been over him. That's going to be my biggest worry for the game on Sunday is who they're going to pair up with Sharice Wright, because we used to see with Kerry Williams, whoever Kerry Williams was covering got targeted a lot throughout games. I think we're going to see the same thing with Sharice Wright out on the field. He's a weak member of the team. He's a weak link right now.
Well, funny story about Wright is I had a lot of time, obviously, this week off my birthday, and I played some Madden with my friends, and I was a Ravens at one point, and I benched Sharice Wright in the game because he got burned on a touchdown. So you know what I did? I benched him, put him on special teams. You know what he did? He caused a fumble the very next play on special teams.
Really?
It was kind of funny. Yeah, I was laughing. He goes, look at Sharice. My buddy's like, look, you made Sharice Wright so mad, he made a play for you. I said, told him, because his job was on the line. So, oh, man. But yeah, I put him on special teams, obviously, and he ended up on the return. He ended up in the video game hitting a guy and causing a fumble, and I got the ball back. So I was like, that was a pretty funny story. So I'd like to share it in my little own Sharice Wright story for my sake. But it should be a good matchup. It's definitely not one to take lightly. The Redskins are wanting to win to move on in the top division because their division stacked. I mean, Philly is coming off a bye and playing undefeated right now. Cowboys are playing this weekend 3-1. So, the NFC East is getting tough. And, the Giants can look anemic, but the Ravens got to get done, man. You got to get done for foes. And, of course, everybody says this is not a rivalry. It's only a rivalry because they're, 30 miles south of us. It doesn't matter.
But it still takes 3 hours to get to each place.
What's that?
It still takes 3 hours to get to each place.
Yeah, with traffic. And with that even said, Philly's an hour north, and we don't call Philly rivals. So we play you guys every 4 years. You're not a rival. You're in the NFC anyway, so I hate it when they do that with the Nationals and Orioles. I'm like, it's not a rivalry. It's only a rivalry because the fans say it is. Ravens Steelers is a rivalry. The Packers Bears, that's a rivalry. Yankees Red Sox, and you get the picture.
All right. Well, I think that's pretty much it for this Purple Friday preview. Josh, did we cover everything?
Brandon, we covered this one to the north, south, east, and to the Terrence West.
All right, guys, if you want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. It's real easy. All you got to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at BrandoCash. Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
Brandon, always. They can tweet to me at ItalianGQ52.
All right, go to BrandoCash.com. Get all the information you're ever going to need about the call. Go to Facebook.com/TheCallPodcast. Like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you will be the first to know. We're always posting real cool stuff up there. And on Sunday, as always, you go to Facebook, where we will be on Facebook Live doing our game day preview. You can ask us questions right before the game. I got some special stuff planned on my end. Josh is probably going to show you what he's doing with his tailgating and stuff. But we'll be doing some Purple Friday – or no, I'm sorry. We'll be doing some game day preview on Sunday on Facebook Live. So go over, like our Facebook page, and catch the game day preview there. All right, guys, we do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Vine and Reddit and Snapchat and Pokemon Go and anything else you are social on the web on your phone with. Say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. It's Purple Friday. The call's getting me ready. And you should listen to the call, too. So that's pretty much it for the show this week. You know what? Also, give this show to some Redskins fans if you're in the Baltimore area. I know plenty of Redskins fans. And tell them, the Ravens are better. All right, that's pretty much it for the show this week. Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, thanks so much, man. And signing off, I wanted to ask you, you excited about Goldberg returning?
Oh, man, I don't know. I like Goldberg in WCW. He's an attraction. I mean, the rumor is it's going to be him and Brock Lesnar at Survivor Series. But I saw that match at WrestleMania 20, and
And Goldberg took it to him too.
But that was a really bad match. Everybody knew Brock Lesnar was leaving and Goldberg was leaving and Stone Cold was just kind of there. I don't know. I mean, I'm intrigued. He looks to be in good shape, but he is an old guy. He's got the gray hair. Of course I'm going to watch it and I'm going to enjoy it. It's going to be a spectacle, but God, I don't know. He hasn't wrestled in what? Like 16 years, something like that, 12 years. Let's see if he still got it. That's what I think I'm going to be intrigued about the most. Can he still bring it?
Exactly, man. And it's funny because the reason why I bring that up because I can't wait to see Steve Smith coming out this week because everybody's like, right now he could bust it wide open and have a big season. And Steve Smith's 37 coming off an injury. And, yeah, Goldberg will be 49 wrestling. But you know, in the ESPN interview, he actually went out and said, called out some athletes who came back and were doing it in their older age. And he's like, I don't know, kicking around. But, I mean, it was all but confirmed. We'll stay tuned. I can't wait to see it. But I can't wait to see Steve Smith. I mean, Steve Smith and Josh Norman haven't been talking trash this week, guys, but we'll see, man. It's going to be a fun time at the bank on Sunday. Can't wait to get after it, man. It's going to be an enjoyable event environment. But and also signing off, I wanted to send prayers and thoughts for anybody those were affected this week at Hurricane Matthew coming through in Florida and South Florida and along the East Coast down there. I knew a lot of friends who were safe. They evacuated. They're safe and sound. And, you know, it could impact a lot of sporting events this weekend. And, you know, not only that, you know, it's second nature, but first nature is I want to make sure everybody's safe and sound. Just wanted to shout out to everybody out there. If anybody knows anybody in Florida, you know, please keep me updated. I'd like to make sure everybody's safe and through the storm. But again, it's a storm and we'll weather through it. We'll come back out bigger and stronger. And that's what the Ravens are going to do this Sunday. We're going to weather the storm of the loss, come back bigger and better. It's just a loss. Shake it off, guys. We're going to be 4-1. It is the goal. Baltimore Ravens, let's fly high on Sunday.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to brandocash.com.
The Call is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at baltimoresportsreport.com.